Our reading this morning is from Acts chapter 9, starting at the first verse. Saul's conversion. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from on heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men travelling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias!" "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me to see that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks. Good morning, everyone. Let's pray. So, Heavenly Father, as you laid hold of St. Paul's life by revealing Jesus to him, lay hold of each of us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I wonder if anybody here has been watching The Traitors. I have mixed feelings about it because it's based on deception. So I'm not entirely sure it's a good thing, but it is certainly good entertainment. I refused to watch it last year, but gave in this year. So it made me think of St. Paul. Was he a traitor or was he faithful? He was a persecutor of the Christians, but he became a faithful. He changed sides, kind of the opposite way to the program, but if nothing else, the program has served to enable me to introduce the sermon this morning. Paul became a faithful. So we've heard about Paul's conversion. Just to clear up any confusion, of course, he was called Saul with an S and he became Paul with a P. Later on, he changed his name and he had this conversion on the road to Damascus. And interestingly, the 25th of January, when I was preparing this, is the in the worldwide church, the date set apart to remember the conversion of St. Paul. So we're well in step with this morning. So what do you make of the road to Damascus experience? How does it make you feel? You think, well, it's the sort of thing that happened in the Bible, but not today. Is it the sort of thing that happens to other people, but not to me? You think, well, I've been in church all my life, so I don't need something like that. Or I'd be so embarrassed if God knocked me down off my feet. Or I'm not good enough. I'm not important enough for God to deal with me like this. Well, we probably feel a mixture of some or all of those emotions. So let's think a bit about Paul's background. I've called this bit of the sermon Paul and Religion. Paul was proud, he was posh, he was pious. All the three P's relating to Paul. He was a deeply religious man. He was born of a distinguished family, a Hebrew of Hebrews, the tribe of Benjamin. And he was a proud man, training as a Pharisee, a religious teacher. He reckoned he was doing better than his fellow Pharisees. He was obviously getting top marks in all his work at college. He knew all the religious rules better than anyone else. So he was a top guy, young and upwardly mobile. He was religious, all right, but did he really know God, going around persecuting the followers of Jesus? So zealous was he that one of the Greek words describing his action is used as describing sort of the snorts of a wild beast. He was full of it. He was motivated to bring down this Jesus heresy as he saw it. Sort of to help us get into his sort of religious makeup, I want to tell you a story of when Wendy and I first went to Singapore in 1998 on the way back from Australia with our young children at the time. We arrived late at night at the hotel and we were really tired and the children were tired and we wanted to go to bed. And a porter offered to carry our bags up, which was great. But do you ever have that dilemma with the tipping thing? Well, I'd read the guide about Singapore and it said tipping is discouraged. Being a Yorkshireman, that appealed to me. So the porter took the bags up to the room and piled the cases there in the middle of the room. And then he stopped by them and he said, "Thank you." And I said, "Well, thank you." And then he said, "Well, this is the air conditioning and it works like this." He said, "Thank you." And I said, "Thank you." And then we went through this process with how the fridge worked. Fundamentally, you open the door and put something in it. took something out and shut it again. And then the TV. Thank you. Thank you. It did eventually dawn on me in my late night tiredness that he was indeed awaiting a tip. But I only had a $20 note. So being a stoic Yorkshireman, I stood firm and he went. I feel pretty rubbish about it now, but $20 was quite a lot. Anyway, in the morning I referred to the guide again, and it says, only tip for exceptionally special service. So the porter was trying to give us special service by outlining how all these appliances worked. We didn't really want to know at that point. We wanted to go to bed, thought we'd work it out tomorrow. But kind of a religious approach is trying to prove ourselves to God to get his approval and thinking maybe God will slip us a couple of dollars tip. Paul earnestly thought he was doing God a favour by persecuting the followers of the way, the followers of Jesus. A bit like barging into the throne room of God and saying, aren't you pleased I've done this for you? God thinks, no, not really. Kind of, you're missing the point, Paul. So for somebody as proud and religious as Paul, God had to intervene and reveal himself to him. Keith at the beginning talked about the ways we come to be believers in Jesus. Paul, we think of this road to Damascus experience, this kind of crisis point. But if you think about it, he must have been doing a lot of thinking. He'd stood by and held the clothes of those who were stoning Stephen to death. And he had that probably week-long journey to Damascus where he was probably reflecting on the things he'd heard about Jesus. Don't know if he ever heard them firsthand or not. But there was a kind of a process going along that led to this crisis, which is my own testimony. I put myself in the sort of proud, arrogant category in that boat. I was blessed to be able to do well academically. I didn't really feel that I had any need for God in my life. I certainly didn't think that I sinned. I thought I was doing my best to live a good life. And it was while I was at university, there was a process going on with people chipping away at me. I mentioned it before, some of you will have heard this. I've been here 15 years, so I've told this before, but nonetheless, it's still as real to me today. But there did, for me, become a crisis point when I had to make a choice whether to ask Jesus into my heart or not. And I had a real encounter with the resurrected Jesus. So both a process and a crisis. As I'll be saying in a moment, God deals with us all differently. So despite Paul's arrogance and misunderstanding, God broke through into his life. God loved Paul through and through. He had big plans for Paul's life because he had a unique set of skills and knowledge which was going to be of great value to the gospel going forward. To save Paul from religion, God revealed Jesus to him. To save him from religion, God revealed Jesus to him. So we thought about Paul and religion. Let's now think about Paul and revelation. So how did God deal with Paul on that road to Damascus to imprison more followers of Jesus? Well, there was the flashing light who was the voice of the risen Jesus, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Paul falls to the ground and he's blinded for a few days. But he tells him that a man called Ananias is going to come to him and pray with him. And Ananias is told that you must go to Straight Street in Damascus. I don't know if you know anything about Straight Street, but I met a man who'd been there. He'd been in the army in the Second World War. It was going back when I was a curate in Luton, and I used to take him home communion. Interestingly, he had quite a curvature of his spine. He wasn't particularly straight himself. He said with a smile on his face, I've been to Straight Street, he said, and actually, it's not straight at all. It's very, very bendy. So it still exists today, I presume it does, after all the terrible bombing that's been in Syria over the years. So Ananias placed his hands on Paul so that Paul could see again. See, like scales fell from his eyes. But moreover, Paul is filled with the Holy Spirit and was baptized. So he became a convert to the way, to the be a follower of Jesus, to the Christian faith. And as we know, he became a most amazing missionary, taking the gospel around many areas of the Mediterranean, starting churches, supporting churches that he and others had started, and writing about a quarter of the New Testament. Paul was converted because God revealed Jesus to him. So, all our conversion stories are different. Keith and I have got quite different stories and experiences. So, maybe just ponder a moment on your own story. Gradual thing, was it a moment of crisis? Wants us to see Jesus, to see him for he truly is, because Jesus is God in flesh and blood and reveals the Father heart of God to us. A couple of years ago, I had cataracts. It was a gradual thing as they grew. And it was harder and harder to see things, to see road signs, to see things written on the TV. So they gradually got worse, but I was blessed with having them replaced by having new lenses put in. And seemed a bit daunting, but actually it was less trying than going for a root canal. In fact, amazing medical practice, and now fantastic, everything is clear again. It's like scales had fallen off my eyes. I could see more clearly now. The cataracts are gone. God restored Paul's sight. This may have been a physical healing, or blinding may have been some sort of spiritual manifestation. But most important to God is that we receive the Holy Spirit and see Jesus, or we perceive Jesus, we see him in our hearts as Paul did, so that we can get hold of the plans he has for us and obey. So religion's a human method of trying to get to God ourselves, to protect ourselves in life and to seek some kind of reward, whereas the Christian faith is about revelation, about God reaching down to us with his grace, nothing earned by us, purely placing our belief in what Jesus did for us and the Holy Spirit releasing us from a sense of having to give exceptional service to prove ourselves. God is showing us his way about us obeying and following whatever the cost personally. So finally, a PS. PS at the end of the sermon, or rather than an SP, if I can turn it round. S to P, Saul to Paul. S for self-sufficiency, P for praising God's name. S for superiority, P for proclaiming Jesus. S for self-consciousness, P for preach in the power of the Holy Spirit. So you and I need to allow God to convert our S's to P's, to release us from any sense of religion, and to reveal what God wants us to do for him. Bearing in mind that God treats each of us as individuals according to our needs, according to our gifts, and according to his plans for us. So let's pray that the scales fall off our eyes this morning to see Jesus more clearly, to follow him more nearly. So let's pray. So Heavenly Father, open the eyes of our hearts. Help us to see you for the first time as we simply ask Jesus into our hearts, or with increased clarity. Reveal to us your true nature in the Lord Jesus, and use us for your purposes and to build your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.